Let's stand for the reading of the word of the Lord, Acts chapter number 12, verse number 11. Are you all awake in here?
Yes.
Let's make sure. Just making sure. I have to look around every once in a while. Some of you all. Okay? It says in verse number 11, when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod." See, this was after he was liberated. This is when he's on the streets now of Jerusalem. He's looking around. What just happened to me? Okay. "I know for certain the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from the expectation of the Jewish people." He had been imprisoned for preaching the gospel and because of his commitment to Jesus Christ. So, Father, we honor you. We lift our voices and our hands to you. A sign you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and we are submitted to you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, and your angels are clearing the path for advancement, for your kingdom to come, and we expect to hear from you tonight. We didn't come here for any other reason. May every word from my mouth be ordained by you, and let it stretch across three generations, to our children and our children's children, in Jesus' name, amen. 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 Please be seated. Just about everybody has had a moment in your life when you thought everyone was against you. And no doubt Peter did when he found himself in Herod's prison. The reason you're still standing, you pulled strength from the Lord. That's why you're still standing, not because of anything we did. Amen? There's an anointing present that's going to rest on you that's intended to empower your life for whatever it is that you have to face. And like David calling for the ephod and seeking the Lord after a tragedy that struck, there are times that you don't need to call others to do the praying for you. You do what David did. You pull on that holy garment and get yourself into your closet and pray and say, "Lord, shall I pursue? Shall I overtake?" And when he gives you the green light, you shall pursue, you shall overtake, and you shall recover all. That means right now the victory belongs to you. And the word says when the thief is found, he has to give back seven times. So count with me. And when we say the number seven, I want you to give God your best praise tonight. Amen? So count with me. One, two, three, four, five, six. Wait. Wow, you got excited. I didn't even get to seven. It's not by might nor by power, but listen to me. It's a spiritual matter. By my spirit, says the Lord, seven. I've got a word for you tonight, and I'm excited about it. The church has to come out of a fog. The Western church has been in a fog for quite a while. And I'm grateful. We've been able to do a lot of things in the Western church that have made inroads and done some things to bring numbers up in the kingdom of God, but not nearly what we should have been doing all these years. Say, we shall see clearly the perfect will of God. Say, we shall see clearly the perfect will of God. Amen. Because we are to be a spirit-filled, empowered New Testament church. When Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Peter was set free for kingdom assignment. I'm praying that God will set his church free in this culture to absolutely become transformational. Amen? We will be praying together when we conclude in this service tonight around the altar, but I want this to echo into your spirit. So read this with me aloud. For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Yeah. So the enemy's not going to just roll out of our way, because here we come, right? And I've talked about this before in this series, but I'm not here to preach specifically to this topic. But I'm opening up a prophetic gate tonight for the body of Christ. We are in a season where there are windows, I mentioned last time, doors and gates open to the body of Christ. The sons of Issachar, who had understanding of the times, God help us so that we finally get in sync with the timing of the Lord so that we can walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and see every adversary defeated. That's what happened during the context of that passage. And if you don't have understanding of the times, you will live in a fog and you will get lost. And we know what that means around here when the fog rolls in, don't we? Yeah. You can get lost in the fog because you're going through the motions every day. And what happens when you just are on autopilot, then your prayers become self-centered and you're not developing the power available to you. You're bogged down looking inward and not any longer aware of the season that God has you in. So you could miss the bus. Tell your neighbor, understand the times. There is an effective door open to you. The sons of Issachar who had understanding of the what? Times. Paul in the New Testament is speaking to the New Testament church, of course, and he talks about that it's high time. We need to be aware of the time that we're in. Amen. I read it to you this morning from Romans 13. Understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. When God gives you understanding of your times, it's so you know what to do, how to flow with him, how to act in the hour. And there has to be a church worldview so that we can comprehend the times. So we know what is our mission and purpose. Is it about us? Is it about just having a building or even a new building? It's far beyond any of that. It has to do with his cause and his purpose, that every person hears the gospel, and from the body of Christ centrally pulled together, there comes great authority and great power, not only to preach the gospel, but to see the sick healed, to see people's lives changed and delivered, for marriages to come back together. There has to be a church worldview so we can comprehend the times, that it is time for God's kings and priests to rise up, those who have been processed and crushed in order to get fresh oil. Nobody's shouting now, right? Because that has to happen before the latter happens. And in the crushing and processing, you will either get bitter or better. Because it's not what happens to you, it's what happens in you that counts. My crushing made me a better disciple. My crushing made me a better worshiper. My crushing gave me a better understanding of the Word of God. My crushing gave me a better view of my assignment. They understood what to do. And sometimes, unfortunately, it takes crushing before we can clearly see what God has in front of us. And it goes on to say, their chiefs were 200 and all their brethren were at their command. It got everybody on board and everybody was in alignment. Yeah. That crushing will do that. So what I'm doing tonight, we must open our hearts to what God is saying today. Not what happened yesterday or years before or prior, but what God is saying today. We don't just come here for a song and a sermon and go back out to become subject to hell. No, hell is subject to us. That's the way God designed his church. So don't allow social media and the spirit of the age adversaries to distract you. Amen? Your kids don't need to be up at 3 a.m. on their social media, especially when you're paying for the device. With so many things swirling around you, you'll be distracted from what God has for you. Pray that those kids are up at 3 a.m. seeking the face of God. We must know the times and what the church ought to do. So I'm telling you what time it is. And I'm telling you some of the things we ought to be doing. It is this time. There are windows, doors, and gates that are open. And I mentioned to you, let me rehearse a little bit of it. Windows represent opportunities. You see out of them, which represents revelation. And not only do you have an opportunity in your life, you are now where you can see and receive revelation. When you receive revelation, you receive acceleration in your life because revelation speeds stuff up. When God is allowed to bring revelation to you, all of a sudden you start moving at a faster clip. Windows are open for a fresh breeze. And God will open the windows, praise God, even when we don't open literal windows very often anymore in our society. Those in your house, we need to open our windows and let a fresh breeze blow in to our spirit, amen, into the temple of the Lord. He opens the windows so we can have a fresh word from him. Windows, opportunities, revelation, a fresh word from God. And doors, there are three types of doors. One type, you have to have a key. A key represents authority. You've been given authority to utilize that key for specific locks. Some maintenance people carry a bunch of keys. I mean, they can open everything needed because they have a key to everything. Calvary Christian Center, you have authority in this season. Tell your neighbor, you have the keys. There are doors with combination locks. School lockers, gym lockers, Paul and Silas had the combination for coming out of their prison. They prayed and they sang. And the word combination from the Lord for the church today, the combination to the unlocking of heaven's blessing and heaven's best back in our lives, back in the life of the church, back in the life of our culture. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. This is the combination to the lock. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We pray for God to heal us. This is the combination. God gave us the combination. Said, this is how you unlock this door. Things we must do before we see the answer that God has for us. We follow the steps God has ordained for his desired results. Commercial combination locks usually are protecting some very valuable assets. Behind the doors of commercial combination locks, there's great amounts of money and great valuables, sometimes gold bullion, behind bank doors with electronic combination locks. Now, if you grab this truth and begin to make it applicable, you're going to have some success in your life and your walk with God. Some of you have learned some combinations and you've learned some of the turns in the tumbler. Behind that is your breakthrough. On the other side of that door is everything you've been praying for. Behind that is your inheritance. You know you have an inheritance in the Lord. He has made us. Isn't this amazing? He has made us the co-inheritors of everything he has, which means everybody gets the full amount that Jesus possesses. It's not divided by how many are in the will, but everybody gets the full amount because he has more than enough to make sure that all of those who are inheritors of his blessings in his kingdom get all that he has. You are never cheated in the kingdom of God. That's where you're behind that is your debt free. Behind that door, there are things God has prepared for you and me. And listen, in the obedience of fresh revelation, fresh word, windows being opened, the combination being turned, there is a success coming your way. Well, that was six people that got that. Thank you, Jesus. We are heirs and joint heirs. That's a profound truth. Not one person gets it all. Every person who's in the body of Christ, who opens the combination, gets everything Jesus has. Whatever Jesus possesses, you get to enjoy. What does he possess? Your liberty, your freedom, everything that you desire in terms of your health and your protection and your provision. You think he lacks any of those things? No. He has all of that at his fingertips and says, I share it all with you. Then there's the automatic door. That's the sweatless door. You just show up. And once you get right in front of it, the eye catches your movement and the door opens and you just walk through. You don't have to push the door open. You just show up. You don't have to pull the door open. And when your friend says, they're not hiring over there, they don't know where the door is. When you show up, you get to the door and they invite you in. You are chosen. There are places where you show up. You know, people know it, and you get an entrance into that situation. And gates represent access into new territory. Places are to be open to you that you never thought you'd be qualified for. Isn't that amazing? You thought that there were limits on what God was going to do in and through you because you categorized yourself. You allowed someone else to categorize you and describe you. And when God opens an opportunity for you to step further in with him, you start telling God, yes, but there are others more worthy than me, or I lack this, or I'm not as good as so-and-so at doing that. He's not talking about your friend. He's talking to you. How many have disqualified themselves from growing and moving into new dimensions because you didn't think yourself worthy to walk through that gate? There are new places God has for you and invites you to behold them. Tell your neighbor, just walk on in. Just being yourself, he invites you. Come to be with me. It's a Cyrus anointing that becomes a part of your life. Thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So that the gates will not be shut. Anybody grabbing hold of this? I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who call you by your name, am the God of Israel. Yes. That's the Lord I serve. Yes. Say we are in the season of the open door.
We are in the season of the open door.
Windows, doors, and gates are open. And we will meditate on this day and night. And see good success. Let me put it all in perspective. I am commissioned to Calvary Christian Center to get us where God ordained. I'm not just hanging around. I'm not finished. Newsflash, you are not finished. And I want to declare to you tonight, the best is yet to come. Amen. Calvary Christian Center is not finished. You are rising to the top, and you will be unveiled to more than just the community, more than just our region, more than just with new facilities to enjoy, so we can do even a better job of expanding and expressing the gospel. What God is doing here, what God wants to do in this body, is seen throughout the world. Because now with access to internet, what happens in a building that God helps us to erect one day and comes out of there can be seen anywhere at any time and any place. The hand of the Lord is moving in a unique way in these days. We have at our fingertips opportunities to do things that once we only dreamed we would have to send someone to go do for us. Now we can go anywhere in the world any time with the gospel message of Jesus. Understand, something is about to turn in our nation in the name of Jesus. Eternity is about to invade earth. And when it happens, I'm telling you, it's going to be a spiritual explosion. You sense the shaking. And you sense the trembling of God and his angelic host. Something has to change. There is a flipping in the atmosphere, a flipping in the order. His angels are mounting up in their warfare gear. And what we, the church, must do is show up and be where he ordained us to be. To be. And it shouldn't be that when we make a call for assistance, we have to beg people. Because all we have to do is show up and be. Show up and be. Just be used of the Lord, glad to serve, happy I can offer what giftings I have. Touch your knees. Go ahead, touch your knees. Touch one, then the other. Okay? That's where you're going to do your warfare. Amen. It's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. The effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. We're still standing. Why? When we were attacked, we dropped to our knees. Prayer needed more now than ever. And we have a God who sends his spirit and a God who sends his power. And with his help, we tear down strongholds. I declare those principalities are vanquished and his church stands alive and well. Alive and well in these latter days. And every evil power that forms against you. Listen, if God be for you, who can be against you? And it's showdown time. It's showdown time. God has orchestrated this time and this season. And for the church and for the culture, it's showdown time. He didn't allow us to be alive in this season to hide out in our churches and sit here folding our arms. Don't you ever take this for granted, Calvary Christian Center. Show up. If you're going to show up on a Wednesday night, show up. Some used to be faithful and committed and passionate and hungry. And desirous. This is no time to go backwards. We step right, we step left, we step forward. Backwards is not an option. We are not going back, we're going forward. That means I have to pray harder, I have to study more, I have to worship more intently. I can't wait until I come to church and be prepped by the praise team and the worship team. I am the worship team. I am the praise team. We must encourage ourselves. Show up ready to worship. Show up ready to engage the Lord. This is the day. It's the season of Almighty God. So let me walk down this passage. It says in Acts 12. Now about that time, see how God, not by accident, but by purpose, uses the term time because it's season. And God always does what he's going to do, and it becomes relative to us in the sense of time because he's in eternity and there is no clock, no watch on his wrist. And he's not concerned about time as we know it. But for our need and for our purpose, time is relevant. Now, about that time, in this season, stuff started happening. Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church. Tell your neighbor, I know that time. I know that time. Herod represents a worldly system, the culture, a government that thinks it's in charge, abuse of power. My goodness, we're watching that stuff. I don't know about you, but it sickens me. And that would sicken our forefathers and our founders to see this stuff happening in our culture. The corruption is beyond, I don't think, anyone's imagination. And it's rife throughout the leadership of our government. Herod represented that kind of a government, a corrupt culture, an abuse of power, a government that thinks it's in charge. We are a republic. We are the government. We are to self-govern ourselves. We are in a period when Herod wants to harass us. And as we look at what's happening in our nation, there are people determined to harass the church. They have succeeded in their agenda over the last 5 decades. They have ripped prayer out of our schools and classrooms. They have insisted on the Ten Commandments being removed from the viewership of students. They have said that it's okay for you to kill the unborn because it is your body. But just a note, the baby in you is not your body, it's its own body. Creationism has been pushed to the side. The virgin birth has been scoffed at and laughed. The resurrection can't happen. Christmas and Easter vacations, no, they're just breaks. Christian prayers at graduation, not going to happen. The sanctity of life, right and wrong, only relative to you. Parent notification of abortion, not going to happen. Abstinence, really? Can't expect that of anybody today. What we once held dear in American culture is now being viewed as an infringement on the rights of others to operate from their own worldview. So now we honor those who claim to be offended by the biblical worldview. That devil is a liar. Listen, it makes no sense. We need to figure out who is our God. Who is our God? America needs to figure out who is their God. Who's God in America? Now, we're loving of people with differing points of view. Our founders made sure we understood that, whether they be of Buddhist persuasion or Islamic or LGBT. But they will not dictate, because the principles for our foundations are inviolate. They're to remain. They will not dictate. Like the word says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So, not under my roof. You may want to practice that. That's your personal business, but not under my roof. We abide by the principles of God's word in our house. You're welcome to visit. You're welcome to share your perspective. But if you won't abide by these rules, you can go home. I won't change my rules because you don't like my God. America has to stop compromising and changing its rules because some people don't like our God. So we're called the nation of the cross. We are thankful that we are called the nation of the cross. If you don't like our God, don't come here. Because that's who our God is. That's the foundation and the fabric of our culture. And there was an harassing of the church in this passage. Then he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Christians are being martyred daily at an unprecedented rate on this planet today. And so far, Christians in America, well, there's been limited physical attack. Many are not being slaughtered or killed, but if you see what's happening in the rest of the culture around the world, you'd be appalled at the pictures. Some of our brothers and sisters who are there helping and assisting secretively send some of the photos and things back related to what's happening to Christians and their property and their churches, and the desecration is indescribable because it's demonic. It's demonic. But many church leaders and principles of Scripture are being killed by our system every single day. A scripted death sentence is on the agenda for the church. And because he saw that it pleased the Jews, okay, there are unbelievers who get excited when Christians are crucified. Some who call themselves Christians are killing others in our Western culture on social media. Instead of edifying and trying to build up, see, even some who call themselves Christians are scrambling like crabs in a basket trying to get out because any rumor that can grab some hits. Instead of operating off of truth, people want to operate off of hits for comments made about somebody. And if something gets a lot of hits, they replay it again and again and again. And if you find some, who don't like some others and don't like something, then you can become very popular taking cheap shots with social media. Herod was feeling good. I killed James, and the Jews are happy, so I'll get some more entertainment for them. I will stay on that because that went viral. Everybody got excited when I killed one of the leaders of the church. It's not about the truth anymore. It's about the hits. And he proceeded further to seize Peter also. And that was during the days of unleavened bread. So when he had arrested him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four squads of soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. Herod killed James. The Jews were happy. Then Herod went and arrested who? Peter. Watch the shift and apply it to our day so we can clear the fog, right? Peter represents the church. Now I will attack the church. He'd been given the keys. I will attack the church. Open your eyes. There is a major attack on the church today in our culture. Just go look at, talk to leadership of our Christian universities and colleges and see what they're enduring and the pressures and threats of lawsuits and by government. Go talk to those in leadership of crisis counseling centers for women and ask them what they're enduring now related to the issue of abortion. That's a major, insidious attack. Entities that are themselves corrupt have threatened the church, and even some Christians have said, well, just comply. Just do what they ask. No, no. That is against their plea to keep the church out of the public arena. And if we cannot participate on their playing field, they cannot participate on our field. If we surrender our rights, there will be no church as we have known it in America. While you're defending the church, some in the church will even attack you while you're standing up for the church. Because once they knock down the wall of respect for the church, then any church is fair game. And the plan, take away your tax exemption status. Watch who you vote for, because the wrong person will appoint justices that will take away your rights. How can they attack 5 or 10 ministries or then a myriad of colleges and universities and counseling centers when all of Wall Street about collapsed our financial system with bogus housing loans, worried about our offering plates while being beaten up by their largest contributors? You go shopping, you buy a garment, the cashier forgets to take that little security tag off of it, and you paid for the jacket or the article of clothing, and it looks good on you, but you've got this little tag on you, and you can't get it off safely. I mean, you'll rip the garment getting it off, so it still belongs to the store. And as long as they threaten your tax-exempt status, they seek to control what you say against all First Amendment principles. They can keep the church in prison because they can start unraveling the culture by simply saying, you better not say anything or speak anything about that topic, because it will be a violation. That's the world we're facing in the immediate future. Not down the road years from now, in the immediate future. Peter had been in prison. Don't get used to it. That's not the plan. Some have, as long as they have a building and a band and a bad preacher, just shut your mouth, we're fine. Okay? That's their perspective. It's okay. We'll just hide away in our little corner of the world. No matter what it looks like or sounds like, we're just fine. Just leave us alone. Please don't harass us. We aren't fine because every day we are quiet, we lose. Every day. There were soldiers there to keep Peter bound. Peter was therefore kept in prison. But constant prayer was offered to God for him by the church. And some pastors have been gathering together, and they've been praying, we need to pray to find out who should be the next president. And I like this. They said, because God has already picked the one. He picks them. And the church needs to pray to see who he chooses. For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south come promotion and lifting up. But God is the judge. He puts one, he puts down one and lifts up another. Amen? So prayer was offered to God for Peter by the church. When is the church going to start interceding for the church and praying for God to deliver us and free us and liberate us and pour out his Spirit upon us? Amen? We will come to a prayer meeting for a personal breakthrough, or if we have a crisis with somebody in our family, oh God, help, help. As we draw near to the Lord, we need to declare what he says and start speaking what he says, because that should be holy boldness in us, because some have put words into the atmosphere that are not his words. And for nearly 25 years of ministry here, it's time for the church to start making declarations. We need to declare that the curse of debt be broken in the lives of God's people. And not speak broke again. We will declare that we walk in his health and not talk sickness and disease again. I am the God who heals you. We should revel in God's truth that our families are whole. Our hearts are healed. Our minds are right. We are not addicted to substances. Our children are in order. Our children's children are in order. We will celebrate victory like we have never celebrated victory before. And we should shout and we should party, listen, and make declarations like never before. Because we will never go backwards again. We will reverse this thing that came out of our mouths, and by the time we ought to be healed, and by this time we should be whole. But you cannot heal when you're still sick. This is the time to shift. This is the time for movement. This is the time God ordained for his church. God has allowed this to start to happen in our culture. And I believe one of the things he's interested in is, what is my church going to do now? Are they finally going to stand up in this culture and declare my unshakable, unchangeable principles? Or are they going to cower and run in defeat? How can you be an intercessor when you're worried about debt all the time and it consumes you to the point where you can't think of anything else because you're buried under a mountain of debt? How can you be an intercessor? The scripture was very clear in the Old Testament about one of the reasons that tithe needed to be brought into the house of the Lord, so that those that do ministry would not have to worry about the funding and the resources that they would have to give themselves to prayer and give themselves to the word and practicing the principles of God and not have to worry about the other. I don't know where the people of prayer are today, whether it's you're overwhelmed by debt or distracted by all kinds of other stuff that you're allowing to dissipate and dilute your spiritual passion, but I'm declaring an end to that stuff. God needs our full attention. Your prayers must go up before the Lord, and you tell God, everything that's been holding me down, I declare loosed in the name of your son Jesus. Loose my mind, loose my heart, loose my finances, loose my home. We keep praying from earth up. Jesus ascended and is at the right hand of the Father. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My Bible says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come, there is nothing that has authority over you. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So if you're down here spiritually begging, you're praying from earth up. But if you're seated with Christ, You're commanding that thing. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus. And I'm not begging. I'm declaring the word of the living God, and it shall not return to me void, but will accomplish what he sent it to do. Are you hearing this? Showdown time. That's what we were built for, designed for, called to. Not to just come to a building and have our own little private fun. When the Holy Spirit was given to us, he was given to us to embolden us, to empower us, to stand in the face of anything and everything. Not so we could have a play toy for church. We're going to have a good time with enjoying ourselves together. Peter was therefore kept in prison, but constant prayer was offered to God for him. By what? The church. We are called by Jesus a house of prayer. To come out of our convenient, comfortable places and be on our knees daily, seeking God for the ignition of a great awakening in our culture. And that great awakening will attract all people, regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of the culture that they've come out of, regardless of their economic position. It will attract everybody and anybody who has a hunger to know the Lord. And the result of that, it will be a huge impact on our culture and our community, and change for our state, and God knows we need that in California, and change of direction for our nation. We didn't come out of hell to sit back on a cruise. We have an anointing on us to shake nations. The hand of the Lord is upon his church. And when the church prayed, listen, when the church prayed, we are not the tail, we are the head. We are above and not beneath. In Acts 4, now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. The system was about to make a mockery out of Peter. Because the Herods have been planning their strategy against the church. It's not going to go the way they plotted. Newsflash. It's not going to go the way they plotted. Because God will get the glory. Just read the last book. Read it. Herod should have known not to mess with Peter. He should have known. But see, the headiness and the high-mindedness and the sense of I have absolute power to do whatever I want and get away with it had overwhelmed him. Why? The book says Jesus had a talk with Peter. And he said, Simon, Satan would like to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. Jesus is praying for you, and he's praying for me because he loves his church. We are covered by the prayers of Jesus. Peter was already protected because Jesus had prayed for him. Calvary, Jesus has prayed for us. Thank you, Lord. And Peter was sleeping. Imagine, he was at such peace over the things that God had spoken into his heart, that in the middle of an evening prior to his execution, he's just sleeping. Could you have slept knowing tomorrow morning you're going to get it removed? Peter did, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and these were the best and the elite of the empire, and the guards before the door were keeping the prison. So they had everything locked up totally. The church has been impaired. The church has been held down in chains, but deliverance was already planned. And God has done the same in our day. Late in the midnight hour, God turned it around. That's my expectation. He worked it in our favor. Remember the night God turned it around for you? Remember the moment when God changed the direction of your life? Remember when everything was going to hell in a handbasket and God turned everything? It worked in our favor, and we are still standing today. Don't mess with Peter, and don't mess with the church. And behold, because you're the apple of his eye, and he has a warning in his word to anybody who messes with the apple of his eye. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison, and he struck Peter on the side. Hey, raised him up. Come on, arise quickly. And his chains fell off of his hands. That would have been a stunning moment. You might be bound, but God will send an angel. Be reminded, even when you can't see, when you have no ability in your humanity to see, no matter where you're bound, you're about to be loosed. Rejoice. There are some situations you can't do one thing about. Nothing you can do. So what do? You just rest. And you go to sleep. Okay, Lord. Since you never sleep, I might as well enjoy a night of sleep. So you're going to be up all night. I have no sense in both of us being up all night. I'll just go to sleep. And while you're asleep, your angel is awake. Rest, baby. You're going to need your strength later. So the angel struck Peter and raised him up. Get up quickly. Time to move. Let's get moving. And his chains fell off. As he got up, his chains fell off. Think about that. I mean, these were designed to keep you. You weren't going anywhere with the Roman chains. Get moving for the Lord. Chains are broken. Thank you, Lord. Did you mean that when you sang that tonight? Chains are broken. And then the angel said to Peter, gird yourself and tie on your sandals. And so he did. So I'll give you a second here to get dressed. He said to him, put on your garment and follow me. Let's go. Get your clothes on. Get up. No dragging around here. Get the sleepy bugs out of your eyes. You didn't suffer for no reason. Strap on your sandals. Put your holy garment back on. Put your prayer garments back on. Say, I am doing it. I'm doing it. So he went out and followed him and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. And thought he was seeing a vision. He thought, I'm in the middle of sleep. I'm in this prison, and I'm having a vision that God sent an angel to come and get me. You know, and when they were past the first and second guard posts, now they've come out of the cell. Chains have already come off of him. The cell doors fly open. He comes out of there, and he's going past, listen, the first and second guard posts, where the Roman soldiers are at full alert, and they're protecting. No one comes in, no one goes out. And then they came to the iron gate that leads to the city itself, which opened to them of its own accord. That's where we got it. That's where Lucas got it, right there, right? Okay, which opened to them of its own accord. And they went out and went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. You'll be walking in such blessing, you'll think you're dreaming. Is this really happening? Exceedingly, abundantly above what? All that you ask or think. The church is awakening to the supernatural and to the need for God to help us. Because, you know, because of the culture, the plus side, the good side, we've had assets, we've had the ability, we've had the strength and liberty to do a whole lot of things. And unfortunately, at times, it's been too easy to just depend on our own ability. God now is bringing us to a place where, once again, we have to absolutely be awakened to our need for the supernatural and our dependency upon the Lord fully. Because now I'm watching children starting to worship and children being filled with the Holy Spirit from now, again, a young age. Not waiting to have to go to a camp somewhere during the summertime, but right here on our own campus, say, listen, my job is to do the work of the ministry. Say, my job is to do the work of the ministry.
Say it. In the marketplace. And our job is to make sure that you're prepared to do that. I was sharing some of this with the Wednesday night crowd. A pastor from Southern California sent this to us. And he said, because we keep asking questions like, well, how in the world did you grow that church to that size? He'd been there, he founded it, and now he's been there 36 years. He said, in my 36 years, we've never had a planned, organized visitation program. We didn't come up with some idea of how we should go out, you know, and get people to know the Lord and organize some kind of visitation to go to strangers' homes. And he said, yet we baptized, without an organized ever, in 36 years of visitation program, we baptized over 47,000 people. And you step back and you go, And then he said, our church has grown simply by inviting one person at a time. Friends from work, from school, from our neighborhoods, and from social networks. We've added that now. Our members, I'm quoting, are constantly on mission to bring their friends and neighbors to our weekend services. And they practice this every day, every week, every month. And they have exploded because they know their job is to do the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry is to be inviting and bringing people to know the Lord. The same power that I walk in, that power is in you. The same word is in you. So while you're at Winco or Walmart, speak for the Lord. Act for the Lord. It's time the church started doing what we were constructed to do, to take the gospel to the whole world. That's why we were constructed. Even as the Father, Jesus said, sent me, I'm sending you. We have a mission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go to your Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and take it to the uttermost parts of the world. And I'm with you always, because this is the purpose and mission for which I was sent. You don't have to just sit and wait and hope that somebody shows up on your doorstep someday and needs Jesus. You can be leading people to Jesus where you find them. And at the minimum, invite them to the house of the Lord to hear the gospel. I love this. Constantly bringing their friends and neighbors to our weekend services. Reaching out to non-believers, those who have no church background. Amazing. 36 years, they have baptized 47,000 people. And the secret? No great program. I mean, there's no big organized way of doing this. They just go out every day in the marketplace of life and invite someone else to come to the house of the Lord or to receive Jesus as their Savior. Calvary Christian Center needs to be leading people to Jesus where you find them. Jesus gave you the authority to bring people to Him wherever you find them. I'm weary of spiritual paralysis in the church. It's time for renewal. It's time for absolute transformation. We've passed the second guard post. We have been brought to stand at the gates of our city. And when they got to the gate, it opened. Claim the city. Tonight, we want to claim our city and our region for the Lord. And then the angel disappeared. Just absolutely as fast as he appeared, he disappeared. Meaning, you've got it from here. I got you out of paralysis.
I got you out of prison. I got you out of your inability to function. And now, just go do what I brought you out to do. And the angel disappeared. You got it from here. Calvary, we've been given a supernatural push by the Holy Spirit. Utilize it. And while this was going on, the church was still praying. No matter the size of the prayers, just keep praying. Just keep praying. They didn't stop praying. They kept praying, even when Peter showed up. So good stuff has been happening because you've been praying even when you've not been aware. Stuff is happening because people are praying because of faithful prayers. Now, when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod." And then he motions, he gets to the church gathering spot, to the house where they gathered, and motioned to them with his hand. And then he declared to them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. We can tell the message of the Word of God to our city, to speak, to declare without compromise and with holy boldness. Let me tell you what God has done. Not about the pastor, not about the church, but all glory goes to the Lord. Amen? All glory goes to the Lord. And Herod had searched for Peter and not found him. So he examined the guards and commanded that they should be put to death. Yeah, that's what I told you. An abusive, ferocious empire. Now watch what happens. Everything that once held you in bondage is going to die. Herod held a feast and a celebration and would not give glory to God. And immediately, say immediately, an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and died. That couldn't have been real pretty. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to stand to our feet. Pastor Michael, bring your team. Let's stand to our feet right now. Okay? And here's what we're going to do. I want us to begin to praise and honor and glorify the name of Jesus and thank him. Start celebrating that God has supernaturally empowered us, delivered us, set us free for purpose, not so we could dance around only. We're going to do that and jump around and thank God for that, but not only for that reason. So for a purpose, to take the gospel to every person, and then you ask him with your hands open, heavenward, for holy boldness, for empowerment of the Holy Spirit like they had that night when they were under threat. And they thought the end of the world is coming for the church. And what happened to them, looking on their threats, grant to your servants that with all boldness they speak your word. Let that become the prayer of Calvary Christian Center, that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Come on, let's come into the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, we need some holy boldness in the church once again. Come on, who wants some holy boldness? Because a turnaround is in God's plans. And here's what we're going to do after we pray for holy boldness. We're going to start claiming our city, and we're going to start claiming our region, and we're going to start claiming before the name of the Lord all that God has for his church.